disclose what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, because sometimes some shifting is necessary.
Yes, sir.
Amen, Reverend?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what we're going to do is over the next 3 weeks, we are going to be dealing with the topic of our stewardship responsibility. How do I present this? I need to say right up front that it is important, very important, for us to be clear about some things about stewardship.
Yeah.
So that as we move along in this journey together, for the lack of a better way to put it, we're all going to be on the same page.
Yes, sir.
Unless the Lord changes things again, let me tell you what we'll be talking about. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about stewardship of our lives.
All right.
We're going to be talking about stewardship of our bodies. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're going to be talking about stewardship of your possession.
All right.
That includes your money.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, again, let's be clear. This book that I hold in my hand, it is written for believers and to believers.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Doesn't have much to say about the unbeliever. Except two basic things. Number one, the judgment that's going to come upon them if they don't get their lives right.
All right.
And then secondly, how to get their lives right. That's it. But other than that, the book talks to those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, I always say, if you're going to talk about me, you ought to know something about me.
All right.
All right. Just don't be guessing at it. You ought to know something about me, good or bad, before you begin talking about me. All right. So if we're going to spend the next 3-4 weeks talking about stewardship. Mm-hmm. We really need to know what it is, don't we?
Yeah.
So here we go. The definition of stewardship is the conducting or managing of something entrusted to one's care. Mm-hmm. All right, that's the overall definition of stewardship. Now, let's be more specific, because I know y'all are not like that, but it's always somebody else's thing, mm-hmm. not mine. It's always somebody else's responsibility, really not mine. It's always somebody else's, not mine. So, there's another definition that talks about not stewardship as a whole, but the steward. It moves from the general to the specific.
Yeah.
And here's what it says. A steward is a person, not persons. A person employed to manage another's property.
Yeah.
Now, so that's the definition. Now let me get down here, so I can pick on you, just a little bit.
All right.
Let me see where I begin. Carol, you want a home, do you? You do. Okay. Y'all heard that, didn't you? All right. Wes, You own a car, do you? You own a car. Lord have mercy. Look at that. Let me see who has some money in the bank.
The church around the corner.
Okay. Have mercy. Reverend, you got some money in the bank, don't you? You saw what we just did? And every one of them lied.
All right.
Come on, then. Because, according to the scripture, we are worthless.
Come on, preacher.
And I don't mean no good. Right. I mean your asset is zero.
That's right.
You go to the bank to get a loan. They want to know, do you rent, do you own? Mm-hmm. What you own? How much money you got in the bank? You got to give your firstborn. But in reality, here's the deal. According to the scripture, you own nothing.
Yeah.
And now, don't go away from here and blame me for that. The second thing that we need to understand is that we are worthless because God owns everything,
yeah.
including you.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. And just so you don't go away from here and say the preacher said, I want you to hear it from the scripture itself. Yeah. And here's what the scripture says. For example, in Psalm 24 and verse 1, here's what it says. It says, the earth is the Lord's.
Yeah.
And everything that is in it.
Yeah.
The worlds. And by the way, we are discovering that we may not be the only planet around.
Yeah.
Amen. We don't know, but there may be somebody else on Pluto, on the moon, on the sun, somewhere out there. We don't know. And that is why God declared the words, plural.
Yeah.
Have mercy. And everyone who live in them. The Apostle Paul reiterated this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26 specifically.
Yeah.
He quotes almost verbatim Psalm 24:1. Yeah. And in this reference, what he was saying is that the church of Corinth apparently had gotten all caught up in about who is wrong and who is right and what should I eat and what should I refrain from. And he said, listen, if something is placed before you, eat it.
Yeah.
Why? Because God owns everything.
Yeah.
And I have a sneaking notion that he was mindful of what the scripture said. When God concluded creation, he looked on all of it and said it was good.
Good.
Amen.
Yeah.
Look at Psalm 50, verses 10, 11, and 12. Look, for every beast of the forest is mine,
yeah.
and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Listen, he says, I know all the fowls of the mountain, the wild beasts of the field, they're all mine. I love verse 12. He said, if I were hungry, let me paraphrase it for you. He said, I wouldn't call on you. God, you ain't got nothing to give me that is not already mine.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is that what the book said?
Yes, sir.
God owns everything. Look at Exodus chapter 19. And verse 5.
Yeah.
Now, therefore, If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. Why? For all the earth is mine. So therefore what God was saying is that I actually can make that decision because I am in control of it, everything. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12, 13, and 14. And it reads as follows. He says, now, Israel, what does the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve him, the Lord thy God, with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which he has commanded thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heavens and the heaven of heaven. I want you to know how God puts it. God did not want us to misunderstand what is. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he says, the heaven and the heaven of heaven. In other words, everything above, beneath, below, everywhere is the Lord thy God. The earth also, with all that is in it. In other words, God doesn't need anything from any of us.
That's right.
And you see, when we really come to that understanding of life, when I talk about our possession and your money, we're just going to be honest with each other and talk about how there are some folk who just kind of step over other people in order to get an additional, what we call it, position, whether it be land or money. And I could tell you story after story how families are cheating other families out of land. Our families are dwindling away other families' monies, sometimes blatantly, sometimes hoping that they ain't gonna find out that it's me that's doing it. You know that. But see, when we come to the understanding that we really doesn't own anything,
that's right. Yeah,
it'll change our perspective.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that we need to understand is you have what you have because God has been so good and gracious.
Amen.
And he saw in you what I didn't see.
All right.
So he said, I'm going to entrust this brother or this sister with such and such.
Yeah.
Because I can trust him.
Yeah.
Can God really trust you?
Yeah.
Are you with me? You with me? So the second thing that we need to understand is this, that we are worthless. I learned a long time ago. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to buy a car until I can pay cash for it. Okay. But I haven't really been in that position. See, I got to negotiate with either with a car dealership or with a bank to borrow the car that I drive. Because in reality, it really isn't mine until I, quote, paid off.
Right.
But watch this. At that point, it still isn't mine.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
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 It just... God has seen fit to bless me with that car.
Yeah.
Right, man.
To use.
Yes.
For his honor and for his glory.
Yes, sir.
And listen, here's the reality, folks, and we're going to talk about that in more detail later on the road. The same God who gave it to you can't take it away from
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
you can end up losing everything you have material faster than it took you to get it.
Amen.
So just keep that in mind. Next time somebody asks you about your car, just tell them it's the Lord's car. They might think you're crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the reality.
That's the reality.
For the believer, that's the reality.
Yeah.
Your house. You ain't got no house.
Yeah.
It's the Lord's house.
Yes, sir.
Some of you get all bent out of shape about your house. What kind of a shape it's in. Who can stay there? Whether they got to take their shoes off when they come into your house. Can't sit on that seat. Can't put a glass on that table. Can't do this and can't do that. And listen, I wish you understood that all God did was just kind of loan that to you.
Amen.
So that you could make him look good.
Amen.
Observation number 3 is simply this. Did you know that you are a steward? Watch this now. There's a commercial that I really like when it comes up. I said, Terry, there's your commercial. It's a car salesman. And he ends the commercial something like this. He said, I have always been... You know that one? He said, I've always been your car dealer. You don't know it yet, but, you know. I've always been your car dealer. You are a steward. What does that mean? You are a caretaker. You may not know it yet. But you are a caretaker.
Yeah.
Matthew 25. I'm not going to go through all of Matthew 25 today, but beginning at verse 14, let's just reference it very quickly, so you know. Jesus gave a number of what he called parables, and this one is they said a parable of the kingdom. And what he did, he actually talked about a man going away to a far country, right? And what he did, he called his employees together. Let me paraphrase it. Called his employees together and entrusted them with talents. You remember that?
Yeah.
To some he gave, what, 5? To some he gave 10. And to some he gave 1. But verse 19, that began at verse 14. Verse 19 said, After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes back and reckons with them. And you know the rest of the story, how the people that had received this talent responded and how God responded to them. You can go home and read it for yourself. But what I am saying is that this is a reference to the Lord himself, who came and gave us our assignments, went away, but he has entrusted to us everything that we have in order that we might invest it in kingdom's work. One day, whether you want to or not, he is coming again. Yesterday morning, I had the painful duty of committing one of our former deacons' body to the ground. And the reality of the matter is this. Sooner or later, we all going to die.
Yes, sir.
Whether we want to or not.
Yeah.
But the scripture says that it is appointed unto man once to die.
Yes, sir.
Now, either after death or in the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is a day of reckoning coming. The scripture says that we need to be prepared for that. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the last scripture I'm going to refer us to this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it verses 1 and 2, and again, just remember what I said earlier, that the book is written to believers, and Paul is addressing again the church, and here's what he said. He said, let a man so account of us believers, us stewards, as ministers of Christ and stewards, listen to this, stewards of the mystery of God.
Wow.
Now, what is the mystery of God? The mystery of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That some folk really don't understand. It is our responsibility as stewards of the gospel to unfold the mystery of God, which is the gospel, so that other folk can understand and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Yeah.
Let me stop meddling and let me stop preaching and start meddling here. Because you see, as a church, the ecclesia, the called out group, oh yes, I enjoy the picnic,
yeah.
I enjoy the food, I enjoy the fellowship that we have, I enjoy all of the things that we do. But let me remind Southside Baptist Church again, as I remind myself, that anything that we do and everything that we do ought to point to Jesus Christ and his redemptive work in the world today.
Amen.
If we don't do that, we're missing the program of God.
That's right. Amen.
Paul goes on. He says, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ. Now again, let me help you there. I am the under shepherd of this congregation, but you are a minister of Christ.
All right,
man.
Okay. And I wish, Reverend, that I could go there. You know, some congregation says, let the preacher,
that's right,
and the deacon do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, let them go out and win souls.
Yes, sir.
Well, somebody put it this way. Have you ever seen a shepherd having a sheep?
Well,
it don't happen.
No, it doesn't.
It don't happen.
Okay.
Sheep have sheep.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So, you're the ministers.
Yes, sir.
And your responsibility is to unfold the mystery of God. Listen. I can. Oh, Lord, help me here. Y'all can fire me after this. I gotta say it anyway. I can understand a young believer needing some help.
All right.
In unfolding the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I'm really not sure how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while,
all right,
you ought not to find a need to call on the preacher.
All right.
Every time you need to win somebody.
Come on,
preacher.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
That's all right.
You ought to be able to step over there and sometimes. Just stand on your own two feet.
All right.
Listen, there's nothing more powerful than your own personal testimony.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen.
You see? Learn it. So that you can unfold it. Alright? Look at what verse 2 says. Verse 2 says, it says now, it says, moreover, it is required. It is required in stewards,
mm-hmm,
that a man be found faithful.
Yeah.
Amen.
this business of Christianity, you cannot do it haphazardly.
Yeah.
Right. You got to be faithful to the task. You got to be faithful, as Mama would say, pump head or high water.
Yeah.
I'm going to be faithful.
Yeah.
Now watch this. In closing, I got to put it this way. The greatest investment that you can make in the kingdom of God is you.
Yeah.
Because all of the other stuff that we're going to be talking about ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. And you have committed your life to the one who has entrusted you with all of this stuff that you need to use to the glorification of God. Mm-hmm. Remember what I said? The Bible is written to believers. The only word that it has to the unbeliever is simply this: the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you see, when you come in agreement with God that He is right and you are all messed up and you can't help yourself, that's why Jesus had to come and give His life for you. And until you reconcile that, life will be a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. It is not going to make any sense. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be talking later on about putting yourself in a position to be blessed by God.
Yeah.
You can't be blessed by God following a life of disobedience.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work. So, the thing that God is calling us to do, number one, is the personal commitment of our lives to Him. If you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, that's the beginning point.
Right.
That's the beginning point.
Yeah.
When that becomes a reality, guess what? Everything else will just fall into its place and into perspective. What have we tried to say this morning? We've tried to say that you are worthless. And some folk can't live with that. Some folk just can't live with that. They gotta tell people what kind of a house they live in and how much money they got in the bank. Their life is contingent upon that. They can't live with the reality of worthlessness. I'm comfortable with that. God, all I need you to do is to provide me a roof over my head and some bacon in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm good to go. I'm good. You with me? So I don't got to brag about how much money I don't have. But somebody ought to say, hallelujah!
Yes,
you have seen fit to bless me.
Amen.
Yes,
amen. Thank you.
And give me a retirement. A pension, a few dollars in the bank, a car to drive, a house to live in. Lord Jesus, and I do pray with you. You with me. But along with that comes some responsibility.
Yes.
That responsibility is that you need to be accountable. And we're going to try to help you to figure that out. But the greatest accountability, I said, is your surrendering your life to Him who gave glory.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And that becomes a reality. It will take a weight off your life.
Yeah.
I was speaking with somebody just last night about an individual who seemed to have been in turmoil, gave their life to Jesus Christ. Their whole perspective changed.
Mm-hmm.
Life seemed to take on a new meaning. A brighter smile, a more demeaning spirit, everything.
Mm.
It's amazing how God can change your life.
Yes, sir.
When we just come and say, yes, Lord,
amen.
I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
The question is, what are you willing to do today? Make a choice, either for or against God. God is so awesome.
Yes,
he wouldn't run it down our throats.
Mm-hmm.
He'd give us a choice.
Yeah. Yes.
And we're going to give you the opportunity to make that choice public that God is calling to your spirit today.
Yeah.
Father God, we thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you that you have a way of just setting us free.
Yes.
From all the bondage of things.
Thank you, Jesus.
Knowing that you are in control. Knowing that you will provide for all of our needs according to your riches and glory. If there are some decisions that need to be made public today, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just draw us and give us the strength to do what we need to do. Guide this time of invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name. As we stand to our feet, we need our humbles. Learn to him the invitation out of thy bondage. Sorrow and I, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. I'm waiting in front. Believers are praying. Holy Spirit of God is knocking at your heart's door. Why don't you step up from where you are and say, Pastor, I just need to surrender my life and you afresh to be in complete obedience to God's way. Pastor, I have been putting this thing off for a long time, and today I need to publicly declare Jesus as my personal Savior. Pastor, I know that this is the family of believers in which my life ought to be planted in service to God. And I'm making that known publicly today. And I'm waiting for you, Father.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that God's invitation is always open. If you have a decision that you didn't make public, but you know you ought to do it, please talk to me, Pastor Williams, one of our deacons, somebody, and let's get it settled before you leave this place today. In the meantime, as we say time and time again, the Heavenly Father is counting on us to be faithful stewards in making Him look good.
Yeah.
When God looks good, you'll be looking good yourself. Thank you.